Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
I'm going to get right in the word because I have lots to say. It's never that I don't have anything to say. As you can see, it's virtually impossible for me to tell my husband no. I mean, I thought that I would eventually outgrow that, but since we've been married 52 years, I'm pretty sure that that ship has long sailed. And it's not that I don't have anything to say. It's just that I know that I am anointed and appointed to lead praise and worship. That's my part over there. I know my husband is anointed and appointed, called, chosen, and faithful to fill this pulpit, and I just don't like to be the one to displace him. But then I also don't want to displease him because, you know, I do live with him. So, praise God. Let me have picture number one on the screen, please. Well, maybe not. There she is. This is my mom. Her name's Colleen Varnado. She went home to be with the Lord on November the 6th, 1989. So I haven't actually seen her physically for almost 34 years. But I miss her every day. And I thank God for her every day. I had a wonderful, happy childhood because of her. But what really counts is I'm saved today because she taught me about Jesus. Let me have picture number two, please. This is also my mom playing the upright bass guitar. She's very tiny, of course, and I thought you'd get a kick out of that because she was a musician. She was a singer. She was a praiser. She was a worshiper. She had a beautiful alto voice and way too tiny to play that, but as you can see, it did not deter her. You can take that picture down. Thank you. There are many things of importance that a mother should teach her children. Teach your children manners. You know, I know that it's not in anymore in this culture, but be different. Teach your children manners. Teach your children politeness. Teach your children cleanliness. Take a shower and put on clean clothes. Lord have mercy. Teach them integrity. Teach them honesty. Teach them responsibility. Teach them accountability. Encourage your children to get a good education. Be mindful of the company they keep. And that list goes on and on and on. And mothers, it is our job to teach those things. But not one of those things that I just named will save that child's soul or will secure his or her eternal future. Not even integrity and honesty will do that because there's only one Savior and His name is Jesus Christ. And I have good news for you today if you're not saved. Jesus is in the house and He's going to save you before you leave today. So there are things that my mom taught me that literally, you know, I know that a lot of people use that phrase, changed my life very, very weirdly in some ways, and they really don't count. But these things that I'm going to talk to you about today, these things literally changed my life. They changed the trajectory of my life. They changed my future. They changed everything. And they propelled me to where I am today. And today I am saved. I am sanctified. I am filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm full of faith. And I'm looking for the greater which is next. She was the foundation. She built the foundation for me to grow. And so I'm just going to go, and I did not try to make this a 1-2-3-point sermon. I just want to share with you from my heart some of the things that my mom taught me so that we can have some kind of basis moving forward as to the things that we should be teaching our children. She taught me to forgive and move on in the face of extreme heartbreak and overwhelming sorrow. She taught me that, not by word only, but by deed. And when she was teaching me this, and I'm going to share it later on in the sermon today, I had no idea that before she even gave birth to me, she had already done exactly what she was teaching me. She had faced extreme heartbreak. She had faced overwhelming sorrow, and she had come through it and still loved God and still had faith and still wanted the future. She taught me to be true to God in every way, every day, all day long. Not just on Sundays and Wednesdays when other believers could see me, but every day, all day long. Every time I would go out as a teenager. Now, Becky, I know you're going out tonight. You know I won't be with you, so I won't see where you're going. I won't see what you're doing. I won't see who you're with, and I won't hear what you're saying. But Jesus will. And she would look at me like, but Jesus will. And every time I would go out, I would want to do things that I knew were not right. And I could see Mom, but Jesus will. She sucked the fun right out of my teenage years on a daily basis. But she knew the value of letting God be God in your life. Every day, all day long. And the bad thing about it is, mothers, we are with our children a lot of the time. So that means that we have to stay on a lot of the time. You say, well, you know, can I never flesh out? Jesus is watching you. And your children are watching you. Mom taught me to love the house of God and to move heaven and earth to get here every time the doors are open. And when I would ask why, because, you know, I heard my dad preach, and sometimes he said the same things over and over and over again. And I'm thinking, I've already heard everything Dad's going to preach. She said, no, because God said so. God said in his word, get yourself to my house because I'm going to meet you there. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to do things for you. So you need to come to my house. So she would tell me, and she always did this number when she was really getting, she said, you, young lady, do everything that you need to do. You go in your room, and when you come out, you put your flesh under subjection, and you get to the house of God, and you act like you are happy to be there. Because the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. And do you know, on Wednesday nights, sometimes on Sunday mornings, when I don't feel like coming out here, I still hear my mom, she's been gone now for almost 34 years, say, you do whatever you have to do to put your flesh under subjection and get in there and act like you are glad to be in there. Because if you'll do that, you'll crucify your flesh. God will come in and do what you need him to do. So all of these things that I'm telling you, they have to be taught in both word and deed. You cannot tell your children to do something and then you don't do it. And when your child asks you why he or she has to do something, what is the mom answer? Because I said so. And what is our response when our children ask us why they have to eat their broccoli, but they know that we don't eat ours? Or they have to go to bed at 9 a.m. because we said so, but we're going to stay up till past midnight. Because we say, you do as I say and not as I do. Okay, we think that's cute, but that's really not cute, especially not in spiritual things, because you should never, ever expect something of your children that you're not showing them on a daily basis. It's sad but true, and listen very carefully to this, please. Listen very carefully. When a child is raised by a do as I say, not as I do parent, once that child grows up and leaves home, they do not do what you said. They do what you did. Think about that for a minute. They don't do what you said. They do what you did. Because what you do is shaping your children far more than what you say. what they see you do. So these things that I'm sharing with you do not work if you're not going to teach them to your children by actually doing them. See, I witnessed my mom living these things out, so now I have no excuse not to do what she taught me, because it wasn't just words, it was deeds. The old adage is true now, just as it was true when it was first written, that actions speak louder than words. Even God operates by this principle, because in Matthew 15, it says this: "This people draws nigh to me with their mouths, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So the first thing that I want to really, really stress today is my mom taught me to love God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my might, with all my strength, with all of my mind, all, everything, everything. Everybody say all. Everybody say all like you mean it, all. That means that there is nothing withheld from God. I love God with everything I am. That's why today at 70 years old, I am so happy to throw myself into the work of God, because I am that all or nothing person, because she taught me to love the things of God, to love the house of God, to love the kingdom of God, to love the work of the ministry, to love serving God, to love serving his people. She taught me to love that with all of my heart. In Matthew 22, New Testament, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." He said, this is the first and great commandment. But in Deuteronomy, it says the same thing. So Old and New Testament, we are encouraged to love God with all our heart. Why am I making such a big deal about this? Because nothing else in the kingdom of God works until you love God. Nothing else. The healing doesn't work. The deliverance doesn't work. The provision doesn't work. The protection doesn't work until you learn to love God with all of your heart. How can we not love God? God loved us when we were unlovable, and only you know how just unlovable you were. And he loved you when you were unlovable. He gave his only begotten son to die in your place. He gave you life and it more abundantly. He fights your battles and then lets you walk away with the victory that he won for you. He supplies all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's bread when you're hungry, water when you're thirsty. He is the beautiful rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley and the bright in the morning star. He's my shield. He's my buckler. He's my Prince of Peace. He's my everlasting Father. He's my mighty counselor. How can I not love him? How can I not love him? And see, God's whole system is based on the reciprocity of love. He loves you, but you have to love him back. Because there's no way that he can do for you what he wants to do until that love comes back to him. The problem is, he knows whether you love him or not. Even if you say the words. See, you can come on Sunday morning and you can get in the altar and you can wave your, "Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus." And it's not that that's not a good thing, because eventually, hopefully, that'll work and turn your life around. But I can tell you that when you get home and you act just the opposite of what you did in the building, God knows that that love is not true, that that love is a show for the people that are looking at you. But when you love God on a Tuesday morning when nobody can see you but God, when you love God on a Friday night when nobody can see you but God, when in your house nobody is there looking at you, but you can lift your hand and say, "I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus." See, God knows that you love him. See, I don't know, you know. I mean, you can act like you love me. You can say you love me. You can do nice things for me. But when you go away and my name might pop up in the conversation, I don't know what you say. I don't know how you feel. So you can snow me, but you can't snow God. And if you love him, you'll love his house. You'll love his ministry. Look at the person sitting next to you. You'll love her or him. Yeah. Yeah. Even if they're your spouse, yes, you will love them. You will love. So are your words and your actions showing your children every day that you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind, your might, your strength? And then this is where my focus is today, because there's two things that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about. One of them was prayer, and one of them was the Holy Ghost for today. Mom taught me the value of prayer and that nothing else can replace it. It's a wonderful thing. It's even a scriptural thing to ask someone to pray for you. A few weeks ago, I got a really horrible report from the doctor. And the first thing I did was tell my husband, and Sean, and Brandon, Mandy, Tyler, and Jade, and Alyssa. I told them because I have faith in their prayers, and I needed someone to agree with me because the Bible teaches that. I told my friend, my best friend, Sister Tammy Green, and she was praying for me. And it gives me comfort. It gives me peace to know that there's so many people that know God that are praying with me. It's a wonderful thing, and I'm thankful for it. But ultimately, it's only my faith that will raise me up. And I know that. And so I have to pray. See, we're far too quick to call on somebody else to pray and say, well, you know, Sister Tammy's praying, so I can take the day off today because I know she's really touching God for me. No, it doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. So ultimately, no other human being on the face of the earth will ever touch the heart and hand of God for your family like you will. Because when your children are too young, you are their intercessor. When they don't know yet what's going on, you are their intercessor. You are the designated intercessor for your children. And then after they leave home, you're still the designated intercessor. You just don't have any control over it anymore. But you are still the designated. You never, ever, ever get to stop being a mother and stop being an intercessor for your children. The Bible says this, be careful for nothing. This is in Philippians. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, I want you to see the correlation because mothers, of all the things that we need from God, peace is one of those great commodities that we always need more of. So he said, let your requests be made known to God in verse 6. And immediately, verse 7, he said, once you've let your requests be made known to me, now you've got my peace that passes understanding because you know I've heard you. You know I'm working. You know I'm going to turn it around. You know I'm going to turn it for your good. I'm going to work it out. So now you have peace that will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So, do your children know that you pray? Do they hear you praying? I'm not talking about the now I lay me down to sleep prayer. I'm not talking about the thank you, Jesus, for these ribs that we're about to eat. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the kind of prayer that flows from a hunger in your soul, in your heart, in your very being to commune with the God who created you. That's what I'm talking about. See, my mom, and I'm talking about my mom today, she had a bedroom in our house because she came to live with us for a while when our kids were small. And she had a bedroom in our house, and she had her own bathroom, and then she had a closet, a real big closet, and she would pray in that closet. That it was literally her prayer closet. The wall of the closet had a common wall with the pantry. And I can tell you that I heard my mother praying every day. I'd go for a midnight snack into the pantry, and she'd be praying. I'd get up in the morning to get the kids ready for school and get breakfast for them in the pantry, and she'd be praying. I'd come home and pick up something that I forgot at the house so that I could bring it back to the office. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she'd be in the closet praying. I heard her pray. So she never had to say, pray, Becky, pray. You need to pray, and then never pray in front of me. And she didn't even know I was in the house sometimes. And she would be praying, and she would be praying in English, and she would name everything and everybody she knew and talk to God about everything and everybody. And then she would get to where she had run out of things to say. She began to pray in the Spirit. And she began to pray in the Spirit, and every once in a while a name would pop out, and I'd know she's praying for me. Becky Fender. And then she'd say, Brandon, she'd say Sean, she'd say Steve. So she taught me how to pray, not just by word, but by deed. See, your children are not going to pray if you don't teach them how. Let me say that again. Your children aren't going to pray if you don't teach them how. And the best way to do that is to let them hear you pray and to pray with them and show them how it's done. This little side note, the Lord is leading me to teach on prayer for a couple of Thursday nights in a very near future for those of you who do not know how to pray. Because there are people in this room who do not know how to pray. You want to pray because this is waking up something in your spirit and you want to pray and you don't know how. So we're going to do that. So your children are going to need to know how to pray, how to intercede for themselves, how to reach the heart of God, how to talk with God as their father, as their savior, as their friend. You cannot afford to let them go out on their own without this knowledge. It's important. It needs to become priority in your life. See, I got to witness this for myself a week ago Thursday, about 2:30 in the morning. I'm sleeping. My granddaughter-in-law, Alyssa, calls me and told me that Tyler was hemorrhaging from the mouth due to his earlier tonsillectomy. I rushed over, and the house looked like a crime scene, all the way from the kitchen, down the hall, and into the master bedroom and bathroom. Blood everywhere. And so he got in my car. Alyssa got in my car. I got in my car. They had all this blocked off, and I just drove right through them. Cops were everywhere, and I just knew somebody was going to come and get me. But no, I was headed to the hospital because he had already lost so much blood, and I didn't know how much more he had to lose. He lost over 4 pints more of blood once he got to the hospital. He lost consciousness. His blood pressure bottomed out, and they were getting ready to intubate him. And he would not give them permission. And he began to pray. He began to pray. He began to pray. He began to pray. God turned things around. Now, Alyssa had already been praying. You know I had been praying. You know that I wasn't concerned about whether or not somebody was listening to me or watching me. I was praying. I had called Brandon and Mandy because they live way out in the country. And I said to them what was happening. And they began to pray. My husband began to pray. But it was Tyler's faith. It was his ability to touch the heart of God, to touch the hand and healing of God. And he is alive because it was his intercession that brought his own flesh under the subjection of the Holy Spirit, and God healed him. Isn't that what you want for your children? Isn't that what you want to know, that you know that you know that even though you're not there with them, you know they know what to do and they can touch God? Whew. See, my mom taught me how to pray. Steve and I taught Brandon how to pray. Ron and Mona taught Mandy how to pray. Brandon and Mandy taught Tyler how to pray. And praise God, Tyler is alive today because he knew how to touch God. Tyler's mom, Mandy, taught him how to pray. Mandy's mom, Mona, taught her how to pray. See, moms, see how it is? You know, we're talking generation, 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 generation. The next generation's not going to pray until this generation teaches them how, shows them how. It's got to become part of your everyday life, such a part of your everyday life that when things go great, your kids know that somewhere in the house you're just going to shout, "Praise God! God, you're so good! Oh my God, you're a good, good father! You never fail! You are always faithful!" They need to hear that rejoicing. But your kids will also know that when things are coming unraveled, that they're going to hear you, no matter what room in the house you are, say in your mom voice, "In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Satan, I put you under my feet." And then your children will see and know that the next thing that's going to happen after that is you're going to begin to speak in tongues. Because it'll be so awesome or so overwhelming that you need to pray in the Holy Spirit. And when you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, your kids may be giggling at what's coming out of you. But what you know that they're going to do is they're going to associate the Holy Ghost with both rejoicing and overcoming. That whether you're rejoicing, you're speaking in tongues, or whether you're overcoming, you're speaking in tongues. And they will want to receive the Holy Spirit when they're old enough to do so, because they see how it works in you. Ooh, hallelujah. And the supernatural progression will be for them to receive it as soon as they're old enough. See, when I was walking through this sanctuary on Tuesday, and I was thanking the Lord for the Holy Ghost, because the Word says the Holy Ghost is a comforter. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. The Holy Ghost is a lead and guide. And the Holy Ghost is a helper. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And the Lord spoke to me about praying for the mothers in this congregation to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. He said, our need for the power and discernment that only comes through the Holy Ghost is going to increase greatly the closer we get to the coming of the Lord. We need this. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the wisdom that He imparts. We need the supernatural intervention that comes through intercession. And after we've prayed all that we know to pray based on the knowledge we have, we need to be able to let the Holy Ghost make intercession for us based on the knowledge that only God has. Look at this in Romans 8. 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as well. If you've got teenagers, you have no idea what to pray for. I know you think you do. I know you think you're all up in their business. But everything that they're doing is not in Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and whatever. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And in the very same chapter, it says this in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So here we are, we're humans, and we have given ourselves to God, and we love God, and we're praying, and we're seeking God, and we're trying to find answers. We need help. We need guidance. We need to be led to truth. We need to be taught truth. We need to know what God knows. And the Holy Spirit steps in and says, hey, let me handle that for you. And if you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit begins to make intercession for you with groanings which cannot be uttered, because the Holy Spirit knows everything you don't know. And if that's not enough, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and He's interceding for you as well. How can we fail? We can't fail with that kind of intercession on our behalf. I talked a lot about my mom today and the things she taught me, and I wanted to end today with a little bit of her personal story. I had such an idyllic childhood that for many years I just assumed that my mom had the same. And I was in my early 20s before it dawned on me one day that I didn't know hardly anything about my mom's life before she met my dad. So I would press her for details, and she would just give me little snippets, little glimpses of information, but never anything concrete and never anything that I could put a timeline to. And I would get, you know, I'm naturally nosy, so I would press her for details. And when I would press her too hard, I would just see a shudder go over those beautiful brown eyes. And she would say to me, same line every time, over and over again, God's hand was on me. And everything turned out right. That's all she would say. Well, that made me really want to know. But she never would tell me. In fact, I didn't know how old she was until she died. And I looked in her records. She's very private. It wasn't till she went home to be with the Lord that her sister told me that their parents both died when my mom was a child. They had two brothers that my mom had not seen since they were children, because the four children were split up and sent to family members who really did not want them. And because they did not want them, they mistreated them. And eventually my mom and her sister came back together with one of the family members, and that family member placed them in an orphanage. And in that orphanage, the head of that orphanage was molesting all of the girls. And so my mom's sister was a couple years older than her, and she knew that she had to get my mom out of there. So they ran away one night, and they took just what they had on and a change of clothes, which is all they could carry, and they set off down the road, down a dark, lonely road in the middle of the night. And God sent a couple driving down the road who saw them, pulled over, picked them up, and took them home with them. Now, in 2023, that's a Criminal Minds episode. Right? But this was in the 1940s, so it was a different time. So this couple just happened to be Spirit-filled Christians. And so my mom and her sister were introduced to Jesus and introduced to the Holy Spirit. They both received Jesus. They both received the Holy Spirit. They got involved in the little church where this couple went, and they lived with them for several years. And mom's sister said that was the best life that they had had since their parents had died. And as my mom and her sister got older, the couple they were living with started encouraging them to go to a Bible college in Minnesota that was affiliated with their church. They got them bus tickets. They paid for their first semester of school. And so when they went to the bus station, my mom's sister decided not to go. So my mom got on the bus, moved to Minnesota. She didn't know anybody. But there she went to Bible college, and she met my dad, and they married. And 15 months later, I was born in St. Paul, Minnesota. Now, I didn't tell you particulars of the story because my mom is private, and I don't want her to take a pass from heaven and come down and beat me about the head. Because I think that with my mom, I think she could talk God into letting her do that. I told you that for this reason. I want you to look at God and how he works. I had just assumed that her childhood had been just like mine. I had no idea of all the things that God did to bring her to the knowledge of Jesus so that he could heal her brokenness from being orphaned, mistreated, abandoned, and abused, and so that she could be saved. And because he turned her life around, I'm saved.